In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether a top-rated movie should be top-rated. Except in today's podcast, this is a very special episode of Film Feud because we are going to be debating Star Wars, The Last Jedi. My name is Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Star Wars. It's time for Star Wars.
Oh man, I'm so excited, dude.
I'm so pumped, dude. We have tickets to an IMAX showing. Yaz.
Calm down, brother.
And why don't you give a little background to how the podcast usually works and will work for this episode as well.
What we do here is we choose a movie at random, which is negated here because this movie is not chosen at random.
It was chosen at random by God.
I can't run with that. I'm sorry.
By the Force. The Force chose this movie.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, let's go with that one. The Force chose this movie for us. It's The Last Jedi, the 8th installment of the Star Wars saga. We're going to toss a coin. And whoever tosses the coin, if it's heads, they argue for the movie. And if it's tails, they argue against.
Ready for this low-stakes coin toss, Vikram?
I'm just trying not to think about that. And I just want to enjoy the movie. TFA, The Force Awakens, was kind of here, neither nor here nor there. So
let's just clarify. Mm-hmm. We love Star Wars.
Yeah, we do.
We're not like uber nerd Star Wars.
I feel like we are, dude.
Maybe. I mean, they didn't define my life, but it's pretty close.
We're both wearing Star Wars t-shirts under this. It's just too cold to show.
Do you have the AT-AT? Yeah.
That's a nice
t-shirt. Some AT-ATs.
Yeah.
Some lightsabers, you know.
It's too freezing. I'm not taking my jacket off.
I'm cold already. The point is, we love Star Wars. I did not like The Force Awakens. I'm being open about it because that's not the movie we're going to be feuding about.
Setting yourself up for the coin toss if it goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, man. You've become very diplomatic ever since we started the show.
Smart is the word. Ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's toss this coin.
Tales.
I hated Force Awakens, and this is about the best thing that could have happened. I don't need to go into the
shut
movie.
Up. Just shut up. Just shut up, dude.
Dude, I hated The Force Awakens. I was very clear about that. And if I'd gotten forward, like, I would have been totally screwed.
That's one movie out of the eight now, which wasn't up to par. And you're basing
most movies out of the eight are not up to par, unfortunately. I love them, but look, 1, 2, 3, 7.
Two. Let's just say two. One and three weren't bad. Two, I mean, obviously, ridiculously bad.
Okay, you know what? We'll go through a ranking of the Star Wars universe a little later. Sure. The point is, I'm pumped. I'm against. I'm so, so relieved. I would have been really confounded.
Uh-huh.
I was mixing those two words.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The point is, I can't wait to watch this movie. And I'm happy I'm going to be against it because this movie doesn't stand a chance. I avoided most of the marketing for this movie, by the way.
Same. I've just seen the trailer twice. That's it.
Me too. That's about the same. Like, I would like shut my eyes when the trailer was coming.
These
in
stupid
movie.
Like mobile phone ads and stuff. They keep showing like clips from the movie.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's said.
They keep showing clips from the movie that are not in the teaser or the trailer. And like, I don't want to watch that shit. Not cool.
Yeah. No, even I haven't seen anything.
We're watching Star Wars The Last Jedi in a few hours.
Yeah.
I'm against. You're for. I'm pumped.
You're dead.
Ready to do this?
Let's go. Let's go watch the movie.
But before we do, a little shout out to our sponsor.
Yeah. So this episode is sponsored by Sproutbox Suryavilas. It's a co-working space based out of Oakland, New Delhi. And we're actually recording out of our studio in Sproutbox Suryavilas. So shout out to those guys.
great co-working space. Check out sproutblocks.in or the show notes.
And before we forget, this is a Muncher Media production.
That's right, Muncher Media. Check that out in the show notes as well.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Let's do this. Let's go. See you guys after the movie.
Dude, seriously. Seriously. Do you have a headache? Do you want like a crow's in or something?
I do have a headache. That was a long, exhausting movie.
That was a long movie. Fun, but not exhausting.
That was exhausting. That was like 2.5 hours of like Batman versus Superman pain.
Are you serious? Are you serious? You just found the worst movie in recent times, which disappointed the most, and you just like stuffed it in there.
I just meant it was exhausting. Both movies were exhausting, and this one had like three endings. It was not good.
What are you talking about? Especially after The Force Awakens, it was so refreshing to see this movie. I'm so happy. I'm so happy, and I'm very pleased with the direction the Star Wars universe is taking now. After Rogue One and this movie. I'm 100% so happy.
The direction, this is like Mickey Mouse presents Star Wars, and it's gone all weird. Like, they have no idea what the hell they're doing. All the things The Force Awakens set up, bad as it was, they just abandoned. Poof. It's like J.J. Abrams came in, directed the first episode of Lost, and then handed it off to, like, Werner Herzog, who didn't give a shit. He's like, I'm not going to care about any of this. I'm just going to do this. That's what Rian Johnson did. And then I guess now JJ is coming back for the 9th episode. This is gone. Star Wars is gone for me. Because this was the hope. Like, Rian Johnson was going to correct the ship. And I guess JJ would not screw it up when he took it back. What do I do? Wait for JJ's next episode? He made 7, which I hated. I mean, the only redeeming thing is I hated less than 7. I guess that counts for something.
I don't know. In your mind, it does, I guess. But I actually feel the way it tackled and navigated through the questions that were asked in The Force Awakens was brilliant.
Oh, yeah? Like Rey's parentage and...
Yeah, that's actually one of the key points I want to bring up. Think about it, okay? So Kylo Ren is the one who says that Rey's parents were nobodies, and Rey just like sort of admits to it. But think about how Luke was told about his family initially. He was told 2 lies before Vader actually came clean and told him that he's his dad. So I actually think that Rey's parents were not nobodies. And yeah, it's actually going to come up in the 9th movie.
All right, why don't we say the theories and like... You know, maybe even Rey's parents for later, just broadly. This movie is supposed to be the empire of the series. I'm not saying it has to be, but there's so many parallels. Like, they did all the empire thing, right? It's like sort of the second of the series because it doesn't have a clear finale. It's more about like what happens in the next movie. The Jedi gets trained, the rebellion, the First Order strikes back, basically. The whole empire...
Look. Just because it's the second movie of a trilogy...
I just told you 5 other reasons why it's like empire. No. It is like empire. It's trying to be, in a good way. Every movie should try to be like empire. Empire is a great movie.
Empire is obviously a great movie. One of my favorite Star Wars movies out there. But, okay, fine. In context, like, you see the similarities there. But I really like the direction that Rian Johnson ended up taking with the movie.
It did one of those things where it... set up all these Empire or Star Wars expectations and then subverted them. So it was a lot of like, oh, psych. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. No, psych.
Yeah, no. I mean, dude, you didn't like his direction at all?
No, I just mean broadly. Like, the psych moments like, oh, Kylo's going to kill Leia. Nope, psych. Leia's going to die. Nope, psych. You know, so all the things that you expect.
You just like, glossed over, like, maybe one of the coolest scenes in the movie by saying psych twice.
Please tell me you're talking about Kylo killing Leia and not Leia not dying.
Kylo not killing Leia.
I'm sorry. Kylo not killing Leia. You're not talking about Leia supermanning her way back to the ship, right? We'll get to that as well, I'm sure.
We will. I'll hold my thoughts till then. But
this I can't wait for.
Yeah. Let's dive in, actually. Let's dive into the movie and sort of run through it.
Wait a second. Before we do, you know, I remember this Lucas quote that a lot of people hated on, which was that, oh... history repeats it doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Do you remember that? He was talking about like the prequels, why very similar things happen. These guys have taken that to the next level. I mean, JJ obviously just plagiarized A New Hope and parts of Empire, and everybody called him out on it. Rian Johnson, somehow he's getting away with the same thing here, and I guess he's put enough to like distract you from it, but it's pretty much doing the same thing in my book.
I don't agree with you there. Firstly, I didn't expect a lot in terms of direction in this movie because of Rian Johnson being at the helm and seeing his past work and stuff like that. I mean, he's done some good work. Looper was okay. He directed like a few episodes of Breaking Bad. Directed like my second favorite episode of Breaking Bad, Ozymandias.
That's an amazing piece of television. I give him full credit for that. But you know,
and this is someone who hasn't directed a full-blown action movie in his life. And he comes out and delivers this piece of beauty.
That's everyone these days. Marvel hires indie people, Patty Jenkins, Gareth Edwards.
Marvel movies don't compare to this stuff. They do not.
Yeah, they're better.
Compare.
Yeah. Speaking of better, I'll tell you what. Here's a few summary points for this movie, okay? It's the eighth movie in the saga. You know what franchise did the eighth movie better? Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious did it better. They know how to do eighth better. There's so much like force X machina in this. I actually think there's actually less magical things happening in the Fast and the Furious than this movie. And this movie is way too long, man. Like, it's supposed to be a space opera, but it felt like a real opera by the end of it.
I'm just waiting for the Fast and Furious thing to just wash over and just go away.
Dude, it's killing the series, man. You know, will you be as excited for the ninth one? I can't be now. It's going to be JJ's ninth. I can't.
I cannot wait for the ninth movie. I cannot wait because of A, the way it answered a lot of the questions that The Force Awakens raised, and the way it ended. So the way it set up the ninth movie, I think JJ Abrams is going to kill it.
The best thing I can say about this movie, at least at this moment, while it's still freshly annoying in my head, is that it makes me love the original series more. It just makes me realize what a lightning in a bottle, you know, phenomenon it was. And honestly, it makes me love the prequels a little more. Makes me appreciate them a little more. They tried. They went for something, you know. They created something. They invented new technologies. They put something new on film.
Shut up. Just shut up. You're one of those people who cannot at any cost embrace any sort of change. And the way, I mean, I agree with you about The Force Awakens, 100%. Like,
that's why Trump's in office, because of people like me.
Exactly. Whatever. But I agree with you about The Force Awakens, about what it failed to do, what it tried to do and stuff like that. But Rian Johnson in this movie, I feel, boldly did what no one else in the Star Wars universe has tried to do, which is...
Are you quoting Star Trek to defend Star Wars? Did he boldly go where no man had gone before?
Well, he did. But I'm trying to say that he tried to take a different route, a different path to a Star Wars movie, and he did it successfully. He didn't fail. The movie didn't fall flat. And he because of this movie, I actually appreciate The Force Awakens a little more, which I thought was impossible to do. So I'm in love with him now. I feel like he's a great director.
Maybe I can appreciate The Force Awakens a little more in relative to this movie. Maybe we can agree on that point. And we can also agree on this point of broadly what Rian Johnson did about like sort of subverting expectations and stuff. You know the trailer line, like, this is not going to go the way you imagine, or what Luke says.
Yeah, right.
That was pretty cool, because that's like really meta, because I guess it didn't. Unfortunately, it didn't in certain cases.
I agree. In most cases. Now, Rey's parents, like, you're expecting her parents to be a Skywalker or a Kenobi or someone.
It's okay.
It's not.
I don't care.
So you're disappointed, so you hate the movie. That's not what's happening.
No, that is a cheap, cheap summarization of my very valid arguments against this movie. You know, I will concede. They say nobody hates Star Wars like Star Wars fans. I think that's definitely the case. And there's a reason for that, man. I think Star Wars is great, and it should continue to live up to its standards. So I will be disappointed when it doesn't.
You know what's going to happen? I see your reaction to every Star Wars movie that ever comes out from now on. You're going to hate it when it comes out. You're going to hate it when the other one comes out after that. And then when the third one comes out, you're going to be in love with the first one. And then it's just going to be this cycle of two or three movies that you're going to fall back. And you're like, oh, that was so good in hindsight.
There's no chance that'll happen. And also, you know, when TFA came out, I thought it was... I mean, when I walked out of the theater, I couldn't hate it because I'd seen Star Wars. And it was actually the only Star Wars movie, you know, while we were alive that it released, that was at least Star Wars-like, you know, because the prequels weren't like the original trilogy at all.
And now you love the prequels.
I do love the prequels now because The Last Jedi. Yeah, all right, you know what? Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do
it. By the end of this discussion, it's going to be so easy. I'm gonna win this feud so easily. I can't believe you're arguing for... I'm gonna mop the floor with you the way the broom kid at the end mops floors.
Nicely done, but I feel like you're just saying that because you're against and you have no choice, as always. So I'm down. Let's just get into the nitty gritties.
I'm on camera. People can see the real emotion behind my sentiments.
Right.
Okay. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Movie opens.
Oh my God.
Humor. Thor Ragnarok Marvel movie style, where people on Earth say hello over the phone. This, like, it reminded me of The Force Awakens, where the word boyfriend was used twice in Star Wars, which was so weird to me.
Are you talking about the Poe Huck scene?
Yeah.
Dude, there's always been humor in Star Wars. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but this was like...
It's just progressive humor. The saga has gone forward so many years. So like you can expect that humor to evolve too. It doesn't have to be the same style of humor.
Poor Hux, man. He's just gone from, you know, so-called Nazi villain to like this weird... First, he's like the punching bag for Kylo. And then he's now reduced to just the foil for some jokes here and there.
I actually loved the humor in this movie, mostly, actually. Especially that Poe and Hux scene was so good. It was so genuine because Hux was just in it and he was just like, I'm going to cause the destruction. He's like, hello? Yeah, can I get Hux, please?
Yeah.
So good.
He might as well say, oh, hey, my AT&T connection isn't working.
What is this? Yeah.
That's my point. What is this hello? What is this like typical?
How did you not find that funny? I thought that would be something that you would not bring up. I'm surprised.
I don't know, man, but I will grant like the first opening space battle, pretty cool. Yeah, because it reminded me like that Rogue One's third act was this space battle, and that was supposed to be like really cool, and it kind of was. I mean, I thought the rest of the movie
was stop underplaying all of it. It's literally the best 3D slash effects I've seen in a long, long time in a movie, not a Star Wars movie, in a movie.
The space battle,
everything in this movie, the 3D in this movie and the special effects in this movie were good.
Let's just stick to the space battle. The space battle was good, I'll grant that. In fact,
post destruction of the space cannons, all of that stuff was so good.
Yeah, well, why doesn't the dreadnought have a shield, by the way? Like, why can an X-Wing just mess up every cannon on the dreadnought?
Faulty engineering. Star Wars has been notorious for that.
That's right.
So it's not...
They're going to come out with like episode 7.5 just to explain why the dreadnought didn't
happen. Dude, the Death Star exploded because Luke just like he found that gap. I mean, come on.
They spent $200 million explaining that. So
no, they spent money, A, to make a brilliant film.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Star Wars films.
It's okay. I like it. It's okay. The third act redeems everything about it.
In Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the entire movie is great. And it's like background to new characters that you haven't seen. But coming back to this movie, I thought that Poe sequence of just busting the space cannons was insane. And that followed by the dreadnought destruction with the ship and then the girl who's established as a character and you just love her within a minute and she's dead. I mean, that's never been seen in a Star Wars. And mind you, this is all Rian Johnson. He's never done this at this scale or of this type, a movie of this type before. So mind blown, dude. I was so pleased with that.
It's a cool scene for sure. At least they built Poe's character by doing that. Although I guess it was a clean slate to begin with. I mean, his character was not much in The Force Awakens.
The humor element for Poe was established a little bit in The Force Awakens. If you remember the first scene when...
Yeah, his first line.
Yeah, like...
Who talks first.
Yeah, who talks first and stuff like that. But I also feel like with this movie, Poe's sort of... He's sort of plugging that hole or that void left by like a Han Solo type of a character. And he seems to be getting the hang of it. He seems to be doing pretty well.
I guess so. That sequence, actually, by the end of that sequence, I was pretty excited for the movie because... I thought maybe it's going to continue this momentum, and we'll get to that because the pacing in especially the first half of the movie, unfortunately, we have to watch the movie in halves in India.
Oh man, dude. And intervals are brutal, dude.
Dude, how brutal was that interval? We were talking and I mean, if the movie had just kept going at that point, maybe I wouldn't have noticed the pacing too much, but when you get like a 10-minute break just to think back to what's happening.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, it's not good.
I especially remember we went and watched Dunkirk as well. And it's just... And the way they say that it's strategically placed and stuff, that's all.
That pisses me off so much. What is the line? It's been placed for your...
I don't even know, man. I just cough whenever I see that line, dude. It makes no sense. And I know it's going to come in at a point. But I feel like... No matter where they put it, it's going to be hated on. Just the fact that they have one is stupid.
Yeah, in that sense, the placement didn't make any difference because by then the movie had slowed down so much. But I guess we'll get to that. So after that whole sequence, when things come
brilliant down, sequence. Brilliant sequence.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was an enjoyable sequence for sure. I just didn't understand how an X-Wing just messed up a dreadnought. And then I also didn't understand, like, his plan to have the slowest moving ships just deliver the bombs one by one.
It's a bomber, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Resistance. They have, like, limited supply of stuff at their disposal. So they have, that's the ship. That's the sort of ship that can actually destroy a dreadnought. And destroying a dreadnought is shown in the movie to be of such...
a huge win.
Yeah, it's a huge win for them. Another thing on that note, actually, which I liked about this movie was how they addressed just general loss of life and stuff like that, which a Star Wars movie never usually does. Like Leia shining on Poe after this whole sequence there.
They only did that once. And then after that, towards the end of the movie, the Resistance is just... Rebellion? Resistance. Resistance is just dying one transporter at a time. And they don't care. Like, they just watch.
What do you mean? They can't do anything. It's not they don't care. Obviously, they care. They're seeing their friends die, but they can't do anything.
They don't react appropriately at all. Because the movie needs to, like, focus on something else at the time.
What do you want them to be doing in that moment of time?
Just clutching their heart and going like, oh my God.
Jeez, man.
Something, jeez. Man. Come on. No, like, no, there's so much weight of the things that are happening.
It's also their impending doom and their survival instincts kicking in. They're trying to survive too. And obviously they feel the loss. They've been feeling the loss for so many years. They're the Resistance. They've been thinning out over years and years because of the First Order. But, I mean, I actually like that they dedicated a scene to that where Leia's talking to Poe and telling him that it was... at such a dire consequence that, you know, you risked all of this. And throughout the movie, post that Poe is actually...
well, more mindful?
Not mindful, but he's shackled more by Leia and later by Holdo.
Yeah, I guess we'll get to all of that. What happens next is the Kylo-Leia fake-out, which also confused me. Like, why did three TIE fighters just not be prone to the shields of their ship? Like, why were they able to get to the...
Oh, like, how can they penetrate the ship?
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, this is just a theory, obviously, in my mind, but I feel like in the Star Wars universe, what's happening is that, as opposed to Star Trek, where once the shield's on, nothing can penetrate it, here, I feel like the smaller ships can, and maybe...
So weird. And it also pissed me off in The Force Awakens when they go through light speed in the shield. Okay, anyway, but... So Kylo doesn't kill his mom, which I guess is some character, although it doesn't make any difference by the end of it. And then, like, two random chomus just come in, kill everyone, kill the entire Resistance leadership. Admiral Akbar, rest in peace. Carrie Fisher, rest in peace. Princess Leia, though, not rest in peace.
Dude, firstly, up until that point where they show Leia's resurrection of sorts, the scene up until then where they show the whole blast happening and then the close-up on Leia and the
And then she just goes, yeah.
So good. Again, the special effects in this movie are so bloody good.
Special effects, I didn't think that was anything special. But, I mean, in terms of, like, the weight of that scene and what it was... Well, we knew Carrie Fisher had passed away. So I thought... Everybody thought this is it.
That's how they're writing the character off.
Yeah.
Right.
Or not just writing. I was like, well, this makes sense that this happens to her, you know, because they showed her in the trailer and stuff. So we were all expecting it. And then, what happens then, Vikram?
It's... Oh God, okay. So, I know you're going to bring this up, so I'll just bring it up for you. The way the whole Mary Poppins flying through space thing, I'm not a fan of how they shot it, right? The way they showed it, because it looked like literally out of a fairy tale with like she's just doing that.
Did you watch Guardians 2?
Yeah.
Yondu.
It was Yondu, yeah.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. It's like, if Guardians 2 had come out like maybe 6 months after Star Wars, he'd be saying, oh, I'm Princess Leia, y'all.
No, I see that. But I'm actually very glad that they attempted to show that scene.
What, that she had Force powers?
And the use of those Force powers. So they've shown this twice before in the Star Wars universe. Once in the Clone Wars. And once in a comic, which is actually considered non-canon now, where Darth Vader does this. He blows a hole through a ship, goes out into space.
I remember hearing about this. Yeah.
Right.
And then he survives for like a long time.
No, not a long time, but like a few seconds and stuff. And then he like, instead of like me pulling a lightsaber to me, I'm pulling myself towards the ship because that's the heavier body, right? And in Clone Wars as well, it happens to a Jedi, Plo Koon or something like that.
If you try to assign physics of like a heavier body, even within the realm of Star Wars and the Force, it really doesn't work, because picture this, you get blown out of a ship and the ship is going like at the speed of like half a flight or a tenth of flight. You're here and the ship is gone like thousands of millions of miles away by the time you get the time to resurrect yourself from the force and shit.
Okay, you want me to bring science into
no,
this?
No, I don't. Just imagine this happening with some semblance of reality.
Just to counter your point, the ship's not at light speed.
It's at a tenth of light speed.
No, it's not. It's getting hammered, by the way, okay? There are like three TIE fighters inside the ship just messing it up. So it's not like the ship's moving really fast. It's at like the whole bridge is dead. They just blew up the bridge of that ship. So the ship, you can assume, is stationary.
Nothing's stationary in space.
The sun is stationary.
I don't have time to give you a second grade.
Okay, yes. Lesson. Let's just stop.
You just said the sun is stationary. I should have won this feud right there.
I remember reading this in like the second grade. The sun is stationary. Okay, fine, whatever. My point is that it's well understood within the Star Wars universe that people who are not Jedi or Sith but are Force sensitive, Leia's Darth Vader's daughter, for God's sake, right? She's Luke's sister.
What?
She's Luke's sister. So it's safe to assume that she has a solid amount of force.
I'm not saying she doesn't have force powers. And by the way, I think the execution of that imagery was really stupid, Mary Poppins. But all that being said, they could have at least, honestly, if she came back to the ship and said something like, Luke taught me well, or I don't know, I don't get paid to write
movies. No, it's supposed to kick in instinctively. It's not like she knows how to do that.
Oh, okay, that's even worse to me. I mean, I guess on some level I knew it was instinctive, of course.
Dude,
it's kicking
let
in.
Let me tell you something. If that shown was shot in a more appeasing manner, you wouldn't have been talking about this right now.
Yeah, okay, so you concede it's not.
I don't like the way it was shot. I didn't like the way it was shown, like, just the whole going towards the ship part. But the fact that they brought that concept up and they used it within the movie.
Yeah, listen,
it saved Leia's life. Love it.
Okay, I'm all on board with Leia using... I wish she'd do more shit. I wish she'd, like move some ships with her hands
no,
and
that's,
shit.
No, you can only do that when you train in the Force. She's not trained in the Force. The ways of the Force. She's not. She's
speaking
Force
of which,
sensitive.
Nor did Rey get trained in the Force. Especially not in the first movie. Not in this movie. And she's doing all that shit. Which we'll again get to, I suppose. When we reach... what's the planet called where she goes?
Octo?
Gesundheit.
You were waiting for that one. I see it.
Is that what happens next? She gets there?
Just about. I think Holdo becomes admiral from vice admiral. She gets promoted in charge of the resistance fleet. And Finn and...
See how you keep saying rebellion? Or I keep saying that too? It's because, broadly speaking, they just had to make them underdogs again.
No.
I guess it's more the Force Awakens argument. But
no, we're just saying it because we're used to the rebellion.
But not just that. They just had to make them the underdogs. Like, they couldn't come up with something that's interesting. It's fine. It's like when Kevin Spacey became the president in House of Cards. May his career rest in peace. But, like, they didn't have anywhere to go with the story as well. So, anyway, that's more of a Force Awakens thing.
What the hell was that?
It's just an aside because it's so annoying. Like, why is it that they're just repeating this thing where, oh, they're just on the back foot and... I just hate
Are you trying
how
to
they...
say that, oh, the good guy versus bad guy is overplayed and it shouldn't be anymore? It's Star Wars. It's more than that.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Way
anyway,
more than that.
Holdo,
yes.
Admiral. What did you think of Holdo?
I liked Holdo. While the movie was progressing, I was not a fan because she was hating on Poe and like she was just being that bad person within the fleet and like not playing her cards close to her chest and stuff. But as the movie progressed and obviously later in the scenes when Leia and Holdo have a chat and stuff, I immediately fell in love with the character.
Why did she look like she was coming straight from the Hunger Games?
How can you hate on like costumes and looks and stuff in Star Wars, dude?
She was an admiral. Did you see how everybody else was dressed? She looked like she was going to like the District 1 ball.
I don't know.
Why does she have purple hair? Why was she wearing that stupid ass costume?
And why can't she have purple hair? How is that a point that you're bringing up right now? She can have whatever colored hair.
It just looked weird. That's fine. She can have whatever color hair. She can be whatever color. She can be whatever creature. That's fine. Why was she not dressed like... Okay, and you know what? I think there's like some backstory to this because I'd heard about this character in like one of the novels. I want to say like it's the famous Leia novel that's canon, but it's just so weird. Like, I didn't enjoy it at all. It just threw me off. I literally felt like the moment she came on screen, I was like, Hunger Games. Anybody who's seen Hunger Games would think Hunger Games. This is like as Hunger Games as they get. They should have known that they are effectively ripping off, not ripping off, but bringing up costume imagery that reminds people of a very famous...
I've seen the Hunger Games and I did not feel that at all.
That's because you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. Well played, well played.
Solid argument there.
Yeah, bro. Like, can't even say anything there. But
I don't know, bro. You thought her character was good. I think as the movie progressed, her character became worse because...
She had one of the craziest endings to a character that's ever been shown in cinema.
That wasn't a character ending. The character ending was a trope. But yes, the scene of her ship destructing the...
Destroying everything.
Snoke's ship. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But like, she was a terrible leader.
No, she wasn't. You're looking at her from Poe's perspective, which is what Rian Johnson wanted from a viewer's point of view, like to look at her from Poe's perspective. But she was actually a great leader. By the end of the movie, it's proved.
Firstly, not being mutinied on is a very important part of being a leader.
It's Poe. You know he's on like the edge the entire time. That's what they try to show in the movie.
She should know as well. And the only reason, that whole Rian Johnson's perspective, that's actually absolutely right. I hate it when people do that. They basically kept a character from telling another character an important piece of information that would have resolved the conflict because they didn't want the viewers to be in on it and they wanted this conflict to be in the heads of the viewers as well. Why didn't she tell Poe the plan?
She didn't trust him. She's never shown in The Force Awakens, firstly. It's clear in this movie that Poe and her have met for the first time, have been introduced for the first time. So she didn't trust him and she wanted her plan to succeed at all costs and she felt like Poe was a threat against it. Secondly, from the movie's perspective, the whole Finn and the secret plan and all of that, none of that would have happened in that case too.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she didn't do it. That's why she didn't tell the plan so that the Finn and Rose stupid plan could happen. And what a pity, because can we agree it's the worst part of the movie? I mean, even if you like the movie, surely it's the least likable part of the movie for you.
Well, there are two sides of the coin there. But the casino scene, for example, that's what you're talking about, I'm assuming.
Just the entire Finn and Rose storyline. The plot C of the whole movie. Cantobite. Do you realize that Holdo caused all the transports to get destroyed at the end? If she told the plan, Finn and Rose wouldn't go. If Finn and Rose didn't go, they wouldn't have met Benicio. We'll get to that. If that didn't happen, they wouldn't have come back aboard the Star Destroyer, Snoke's ship.
Supremacy.
The Supremacy. And if they didn't come aboard the Supremacy, Benicio wouldn't have told them about the transports.
Dude, we can
Holdo we killed can, most of the resistance.
We can safely
and Poe killed most of the resistance.
No, that's not
and
how
Finn
this works.
Killed most of the resistance, and Maz Kanata killed most of the resistance, and we'll get to all of that because that plan sucked, that storyline sucked, that plot was awful. Okay,
I don't want to get into that. I have answers for that, but I feel like it'll just help you and feed your stupid points here. Coming back to your point,
defend
about
Holdo killing the resistance.
I will. Firstly, that's not how this works. It's a movie, and it's not being like, oh, if he wouldn't have done that, then this wouldn't have happened, and that wouldn't have happened, and this. You can literally negate all of the Star Wars movies that way.
That's true.
So
if Qui-Gon had just...
You can actually negate every movie ever made that way. So that's a stupid thing to do. It's how things progress in life and in movies everywhere. So
but
that's
they should
how it
think
happened.
About it and feel terrible about it, and their characters should feel the weight of it. Poe especially. Poe can, because Finn is gonna come back after he's done hugging Rey and be like, by the way, this happened, and Poe will be like, oh my God, Benicio is the one who told them about the transports, because otherwise we would have gotten away scot free. Man, I should think about that and maybe do something else instead of screwing everyone over all the time.
Maybe he does in the 9th movie. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a stupid point. I'm not even going to grant you that one because it makes no sense. That's not how this works. Coming back to the point about her being a bad leader and her being the reason that the whole stupid Del Toro sequence happened, I still think is a good leader because I truly feel, and they established this pretty well, that she does not trust Poe at all because of his reputation and because of maybe what Leia's told her in the past and stuff like that. So her not telling Poe the plan is, I don't think it's a bad thing to
do.
And
then in the end, she loves him.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Why not?
Because she didn't trust him to tell the plan and then he mutinied on her and then she doesn't know it yet but killed half the resistance.
Jesus, man. I mean, it makes no sense. You can literally wipe out... If you do this from episode 1 onwards, there will be no other episode after that.
Okay, I will extend an olive branch to you. her death.
Oh my God. That scene was so good. Please don't say it was, yeah, pretty cool. It was so good. It was so good. Well shot. Oh, it was an experience. It was an experience. And I'm never forgetting that scene. It's literally in my top 5 scenes of all time. Ever.
All movies ever.
Ever.
Better than anything in Batman versus Superman. I'm kidding.
Always. Always. There's this one scene from Interstellar, which is up there as well. But I don't want to talk about that.
Docking.
The space docking scene. Yeah. Obviously, it's... Oh, dude, this scene was so good because it's so unexpected. You don't know what's going to happen. And okay, you understand that she's going to like ram herself into it, or she's going to light speed. Okay, something might happen akin to maybe what happened with the Millennium Falcon and that creature in The Force Awakens. And it blew my mind. And that shot of like the Supremacy in half and the entire First Order fleet destroyed.
And the sound mixing then, right?
Oh my God.
It was a really great scene. Really great visual.
This is all Rian Johnson. This is the guy who directed 3 Breaking Bad episodes and Looper. Can you believe this?
Yeah, I can believe
blown
it.
Blown away, dude. Chill out. I'm so blown away.
It's also like Lucasfilm and ILM, and let's give those people credit.
100%, obviously. And, but those guys had the prequels as well. Oh my God. They had The Force Awakens too, so...
It was really cool. I, however, must feel compelled to point out the... logicalness of it or lack thereof.
Jesus, bro.
What is this, like, if one ship goes to light speed close to another big one, it can just rip through it? How does that work? They should just do kamikaze missions all day. They're done. What's the big deal?
They don't have enough ships to do that.
They have enough tiny ships. If, like, at light speed, it doesn't matter. The mass doesn't matter, bro.
Oh, really? Really?
I mean, if this size ship could do it, then, like, a smaller size ship can do it.
It'll probably have a lesser impact, I'm assuming.
In the next movie, this better happen.
What?
All day, every day, they should just take small ships and just rip through big ships. Big ships should be rendered obsolete. This is the only way the logic of this scene
makes
sense.
No, man, it's the biggest ship they have at that point of time, or that's generally irrelevant. In their fleet.
You can't go faster or furier than light speed. Furious? Like, every ship can go light speed.
Did you just say furier?
Yeah.
How? Where is that established? Where are you getting your science from?
It's not science. I just mean, yeah, it's established by nobody else doing this in the past. Although, surely people must have thought about it.
Dude, the way they did it, I feel like it was very plausible the way they showed it. I did not feel like, oh, that makes no sense.
That's because you just don't see it with the same careful, loving lens as I do.
Loving.
Of a true fan.
Shut the...
Somebody who desires the beauty, glory, and consistency that was found in the original series.
Oh, God, dude. Stop your Shakespeare thingy right now. It makes no sense. Stop hating on that scene even slightly. That's... clearly one of the better scenes in the movie, and you have to agree with that.
I agree. It's a great scene. Great visual, great sound design at the time. Caught me by surprise. Just bears examination and doesn't hold up once you do examine it.
In your mind, because I don't know what science you studied, even though you're an ingenieur.
I studied the Force.
If you did, then you'd know that this makes sense. Stop. Stop. We need to move on.
We do this every week. We have a weekly podcast. You can get it wherever you find podcasts, such as
iTunes,
Stitcher,
SoundCloud,
or any other podcatcher. And of course, we want you to tweet at us and let us know who won this feud by going to FilmFeudPod, @FilmFeudPod on Twitter. And let us know who you think wins. Let us know maybe what arguments you might have made.
It's always me, man. So just let it go.
And stick around. Thanks.
May the Force be with us all.